Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that will never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Hello, welcome to the RTE GAA podcast. Mikey Stafford here, stepping in for Jackie Hurley, and I'm joined by Tyrone legend Peter Canavan, Cork legend Rory O'Neill, and Monaghan legend Malachy Clerkin. How are we all doing, lads?
Very good, Mikey. Very good.
Good stuff. It feels like the hurling was dealt with yesterday by Shane McGrath. I think about 80% of the podcast was Munster and a little mention of Leinster at the end. So it feels, you know, the hurling is upon us, and so football feels a need to up its game, or maybe that's just how the fixture makers wanted it to look, because after a fairly low-key start to the championship, I think we're kind of getting into the meat of it now. We've got league champions Derry taking on Jim McGuinness's Donegal on RTE television 6:15 on Saturday evening, and then we've got Cavan v Tyrone in Ulster at 4 o'clock, and then we've got Mayo v Roscommon on the television on Sunday, and you got Kerry v Cork on GAA Go on Saturday afternoon. So there's at least three competitive matches there, and another that's a fixture in the calendar. So we'll start with Derry and Donegal. Peter, this is an interesting matchup, I suppose, as much for what's on the sideline, I suppose. Jim McGuinness returning, and Mickey Hart's first championship game in charge of Derry. But I suppose that kind of distracts from what should be a very interesting match. You know, obviously Derry will go in as favourites as league champions, and the scene is one of the big three now. But, you know, Donegal did very well in Division 2. McGuinness has unearthed a few players, seemed to have a bit of depth if he's over his injuries, and has a couple of different ways of skinning the cat. And it'll be interesting to see how they approach this game, really. Do you think he'll bring his UEFA Pro license into full effect here and go with a high press against the Derry team, who seem absolutely purpose-built to spring a high press and absolutely score like mad?
He might have to call on some of his American football expertise as well to get the better of these Derry men. Look, you're right. There's a lot made of the sideshow, but it's not a bad sideshow. Mickey Hart v Jim McGuinness. And they've had a bit of history down through the years. It'll be fair to say that McGuinness has held the upper hand on a lot of those clashes. But I'd say this time around, it's Mickey Hart is holding all the aces.
Yep.
There's a lot. I don't think Mickey has to do a lot in terms of his troops. The way they play to a very set system. They know what they're about. They're a team that's been in development this, 4-5 years. And it's been an upward trend. And a lot of people felt that when Mickey came in, he was going to have to add to the Derry panel to strengthen them. He has managed that. He has brought in 4 players that have really come on, have got plenty of experience through the league. And now Derry have a strong panel. They don't have a strong 12, 13 players maybe that people were suggesting last year. They have a really strong panel. There's a sense of togetherness there. So I don't think he has to do, or the Derry management have to do a lot. They know what they're going to be up against in terms of Donegal. And it's a case of whether in the space of 4 or 5 months that Jim McGuinness can manage to, he's managed to improve them. There's no doubt about that. They've won Division 2, but can he bring them on that much in the space of 4 or 5 months to challenge what many people would see as All-Ireland favourites? I'm not convinced about that. And I do believe that Donegal will certainly give them a game. They'll make it difficult for Derry. But I just think it's a massive step up in such a short space of time. But look, it'll still be intriguing and all the rest. But I think the outcome will be very much to the favour of the Red and Whites.
Yeah, we're probably asking, I know you're going to this match, Malachy, we're probably asking a bit much of Jim McGuinness to pull a rabbit out of his hat, as Peter says. The league was fine. They did what they were expected to do. I think the two teams expected to come out of Division 2 came out of Division 2. Donegal won a fairly strange league final, which I don't think either themselves or Armagh will be thinking too much about come the end of the year. But would it be fair to say what we have seen of Jim McGuinness's Donegal so far makes them a fine Division Two team, and they'll hold their head above water in Division One next year. But the idea of them beating a Derry team who seem motivated to win Ulster, it seems far fetched to the point as it would go high up on the Jim McGuinness CV were they to pull off a win here.
I'm going to be very interested to see what sort of game this is. I don't think on any level that there's any part of Derry that is going in here to take a dive or to, you know, not go all out to win or anything like that. I don't think that's part of, it's certainly not part of Mickey Hart's makeup. It's not part of this Derry team's makeup. And as Peter says, like the thing with them is that they're in that beautiful place that contenders like to be in, where everybody knows their job, everybody knows how they play. They go out for every game and they apply the formula that they've come up with to every game. And you know, motivation isn't going to be a problem. All of that sort of stuff is sort of taken as a given now, and like that's where every team wants to get to. There is still a wee part of me that kind of wants to see it, kind of wonders if they looked at Dublin sleepwalking their way through the Meath game last week and kind of went, well, you know, 3 months down the line, we need absolutely everything we have to beat either Dublin or Kerry or both to win our All-Ireland. And so I do wonder, does that infiltrate them at all this week? Do they come up against a Donegal team that is at the start of its journey, that's going to be coming with everything that they have? You know, we know what the building blocks are for any team that's going to come through Ulster and really contend at All-Ireland level. It's you get your Ulster in the bank first. Derry have two in a row put in the bank, two Ulster finals in a row that both went to extra time, and last year went to penalties. I will just be interested to see how much of the sort of absolutely eyeballs out, rabid Derry-ness that has really made them the best team in Ulster over the last 2 years. How much of that will be on show, and if it's coming down to it in the last 10 minutes, does Donegal have a greater want? Is it more important to them at this point in their journey to win this game than it is for Derry? And I don't know if that has enough of an effect. I don't know if they're going to be close enough to Derry for that to even come into the reckoning. Maybe Derry go out and put two goals on them in the first half and hold them at arm's length for the whole of the game, and that's fine, and that's how the game works out. But I think it's a really interesting year for the Ulster Championship. One of my absolute favourite days of sport last year was the Ulster final in Clonus. It was one of the real throwback Ulster finals. It was a gloriously hot day. The game was insane. It kept going over and back and over and back all the way. The penalty shootout was amazing. The Clonus was completely packed. It was one of those days that you're going, why would anyone want to get rid of this or diminish this or take this out of the Irish sporting calendar or anything like that? But I do wonder, somewhere along the way, are Ulster teams going to get sick of looking at Dublin and Kerry just waltzing through this month, this particular month of games, and arriving at the start line for the All-Ireland Championship without a scratch on them, whereas the Ulster teams are beating the shit out of each other. So I'm really looking forward to this Ulster Championship, because I wonder when or if that sort of drop off of intensity is going to come. It may never come, I don't know, but if it does, like, Derry are the perfect candidates for it, like, because they've done everything that needs to be done in Ulster. So we'll see.
Yeah. Rory, I suppose the question is, given their form and how they dealt with Dublin, do Derry need to be at that kind of rabid level of intensity to beat Donegal, or has their game come on to the point where there is now support for Shane McGuigan in the scoring stakes? Like Conor McCluskey are scoring goals from defence. You know, they've developed arguably the what Brian Fenton thinks is the best midfield partnership in the country, which is high praise indeed. So you'd wonder whether Peter can tell us in a minute, and we all know it. Mickey Hart goes out to win every game; that's his thing. But and as it's very hard to see them throwing it, as Malachy says. But you wonder, could they not take a leaf out of Dublin's book? There's no way they're going to do that. But is there a chance that they can maybe tone it down, play at 80-85% and beat Donegal?
I don't think so. I mean, it's a local derby. It's a full house. It's going to be a rabid atmosphere. There's a real wave and a buzz in behind Derry at the minute. Mickey loves to win everything. I know, I think there are two really key things there that Malachy mentioned. The type of game that we're likely to see. Because you have to bear in mind, this is two teams that met 2 years ago, which was like almost, you know, depending on what you're having for breakfast, some people thought it was the worst excesses of modern Gaelic football, and other people thought it was intriguing, right? So, but now there's two very different managements in place, and maybe it's the case that the game reflects that. But I think what's far more interesting for me, and I'm sure for the listeners, in terms of Malachy's second point is, and I think it's what people will want to hear from Peter, really, as opposed to a Cork fella, is the notion that this is a seminal year for the Ulster Championship, Peter.
Just the first point, sorry, go back to Malachy's point about, you know, Derry's prospects of winning the All-Ireland, they'd be better served, possibly, if they didn't have to go through a difficult Ulster campaign. I agree 100% with that. I think if they happen to lose Sunday's game or Saturday's game, it's not the end of the world for them. I think they will have time to recover, refresh, and set their reset their targets, and they'll still be in a very good, they could be in a better position. Why will that not happen? Rory, you've already said we know what Mickey Hart's like. So on top of the aspect that he treats every game as one that he wants to win, and that's, you know, innate, the other aspect is the Jim McGuinness factor, that he's well aware that Donegal's success, the throne were used as the springboard for Donegal's All-Ireland win. And there's no doubt about that. Both men have acknowledged that since. McGuinness, when he came in back then, said the team of the target in the back was Tyrone. They measured themselves every time they played Tyrone. So now, who do you think is the standard bearers when they come in? It's another team that's managed by Mickey Hart. So that's why this Saturday's game takes on another layer of significance in that this will be the stepping board, the springboard for Donegal to go on to greater things. They may not win an All-Ireland this year, but if they can crack this one, that's will you know, imbue a serious degree of self-belief in that Donegal team that they're going the right places. So there is no chance of Derry losing focus or being having it in the back of their heads. And if a few of their players did, I can guarantee you that during the week that Mickey Hart would soon have got that notion out of their heads. So it is definitely two teams going to win everyone. And in terms of the bigger picture, absolutely. It's the cry, I think it's fair enough. It's well enough founded that the majority of pundits and commentators in the game at the minute would be suggesting that for the greater good of the GAA, that they have to look at the problem that has become provincial championships. And you talk about Munster hurling and Ulster football as being, you know, holding the argument for the retention of those championships. I would still like to see them in place, but it looks as if the time has come maybe to reverse the provincial championships with the national leagues. And unless we have brilliant championships all round, I think it's inevitable that it's going to go down that way. So The Ulster Championship is still the Ulster Championship, and teams will still want to win a throne in Cavan. There's going to be a massive crowd at that on Sunday. Again, the attraction of winning Ulster for Cavan, for Throne, for Donegal, for Derry is still massive, regardless of further down the line.
Yeah. Asher, don't worry. The GA president's talking this week about moving the All-Ireland finals back to September. If every county in Ireland can agree to a template for club championships, sure, he might as well suggest a 13-month of the year just to free up some space. So it's about as likely to happen. Maliki, coming back to this game, what of Donegal? You know, because the focus here is Derry largely, I suppose, given their where they are in the game at the moment and kind of what they did against Dublin. But, you know, if McGuinness, if the injuries are kind of cleared up, because he was, like most managers, dealing with a lot of injuries during the league, you know, Oisin Gallen, Paddy McBrearty, or if, you know, if you have the two of them fit and firing inside, you know, there's not too many full forward lines more threatening, you know, they have ways in which they can worry Derry, no doubt.
Yes. Yeah. You say that, I think Oisin Gallen has the makings of a fantastic footballer. He clearly has that. But we have yet to really see it over a sustained level of championship games. And I know he's had injury problems, really bad ones down the years. I think sometimes that when a guy is that talented, we can sort of take it as a given that they have this really dangerous inside forward line, and you know you got to see it yet. What really kind of struck me, I saw them twice this year, kind of close up. The first was the McKenna Cup game against Derry, which, you know, it's a McKenna Cup game, and it was a brutal night up in Omagh, and so like how much can you really extrapolate from it at all? That was interesting though that night that. Derry had the wind in the first half, and it was a pretty big wind, and Donegal went in only a couple of points behind, and you were kind of going, well, they've done the hard bit now, like, you know, and let's see them kick on. And they kind of just got kind of blown away, and even like Brendan Rodgers got sent off weirdly for maybe the only time in his career for a kind of an accidental stamp that night. And Derry still just kind of knuckled down and showed that they were so far ahead in terms of like game management and sort of just the knowledge of what the situation demanded. So the other time that I saw him was the Division Two final against Armagh. And like, God, there was so many times that that game was just there for them to kill off. Like I think on some level I thought they looked a bit young there sometimes, but they did look. They came out ahead and they won it, and it was a great thing for them. But I thought that they were sometimes in that second half they were better than the ultimate 1 point margin of victory. I think on some level they strike me as a bit young and a little leaderless is overdoing it, but they could do it a few more. Experience, and like that's where the difference will be, or it looks to me where the difference between them and Derry is. I don't know on average age would there actually be a whole pile between them, but Derry have, you know, you'd trust your life to Conor Glass and Brendan Rodgers, like to know what to do in the last 15 minutes of a game, that kind of way. All things being equal, Derry are the better side and the more experienced side, and they've done it all. But like we put a lot of store in the unknown that a Messiah can bring, and we'll see. We're expecting stuff. We're expecting Donegal to just improve from what they were. I haven't seen an awful lot of huge sort of tactical innovation. I think the word kind of went around that they were doing this big high press, and they like
There was one game in the league, I can't remember which one. There was one where it was very evident, but it wasn't for the whole game.
Yeah, it wasn't even the league. It was, I think it was the first McKenna Cup game, actually.
Yeah, they went after Cork the first day out as well.
Yeah, that was exactly. And they were
and using the sideline to hem players in and all that sort of stuff. And that's great, but like, you know, no team is going to be mad enough to do that all the time anyway. So, you know,
pick your moments, really.
Yeah, exactly. So the idea that they're this high press and high energy, blah, 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 like that's, you know, you got to pull back a little on that. But it'll be, look, it's a fascinating game. It really is.
It is.
Yeah. Before we move off it, I think I don't need to ask your predictions. I think I'm hearing three people saying they're going.
No, I give Donegal a good chance. I really do. I think Donegal. Yeah, I do. I think McGuinness will relish this. I think they'll be right up for it. I think youthful exuberance can count for a lot. Derry's eyes will be on much bigger prizes. So I would give Donegal a very good chance here. And I think the Ulster Championship could probably do with a bit of an upset. And there's usually one every year in the Ulster Championship.
There's been one already.
He needs to tell himself that right.
That's a 50-50. So I know I'd fancy, I'd give Donegal a rattle here.
Okay. We'll move on to Sunday. So, Peter, your own county, it's the same old tune, really. But you, like, coming into the championship over the last couple of years, a lot of questions around form, injury issues. Losing one of the managers to ill health doesn't help.
He's back, which is great. He's back this weekend, which is fantastic, by the way. Yeah.
Oh.
That's what I heard anyway, Peter. Is that correct?
That's what I've heard too. Can't say for definite, but he has been in with the team on a couple of occasions and speaking to the boys. So that's good. That's brilliant to hear. I don't think he's been in full time, to be honest, but whether he's fit to withstand the pressures of standing on the sideline, watching this Throne team play championship football, I'm not too sure, but he's on the right road, and that's great to hear.
Well, that is great to hear, and a much-needed boon, I suppose, for the panel after, I just suppose, like, that final outing against the Dubs would have really taken any goodness out of the league, really, wouldn't it? Or do you think it can be just, you know, it was the league, it's done, it's finished, it was Dublin and Croke Park, forget about it, or can that leave a bit of a stain on a team?
Yeah, look, yes, it can, and the experience of playing at Croke Park and being overrun in the manner that they were is not great for any young lads. Confidence not great for anybody, no matter what stage of the career you're at, to endure that. The fallback, and it can be a bit false at time. Oh, you know, this has happened thrown before, and we carry, and you've seen what happened after that. can't go and do that. That doesn't happen every year. And, you know, again, on Sunday's lineout, I think we're five debutants for
very young.
I don't like using this word. We're not allowed to use it anymore.
Transition.
in play, maybe, but in terms of the status of the team, that's obvious if any team is starting so many younger players. So, to follow on what you're saying, what can we expect from Throne? Throne could win this game by 5 or 6 points. On the other hand, you wouldn't be surprised if Throne lost this game by 5 or 6 points. And that has been the nature of their performances. Even within games, they've been inconsistent. The games they've won, for example, against Mayo and against Monaghan in particular, parts of the Monaghan game, they were brilliant, moving the ball really fast, cutting Monaghan open. And then the reverse of that, they were cut wide open, and Monaghan had goal chances, took goal chances, and created goal chances. So it's a team that's finding their feet, and they're very hard to predict. And they're going to be coming up against a physical team. I was impressed with Cavan's physicality against Monaghan, and a lot of those players have been knocking about for a while. And in terms of strength and essence, they're at a very good level. And like the Donegal Derry game, the battle of the sidelines, Calvin have won. Stephen O'Neill standing on the line, who would know these boys inside out, and obviously that's a massive plus to Calvin come Sunday.
Just thinking, in your time, can you remember a Tyrone team that would have had five championship debutants? It seems like a lot for like Tyrone.
Last year.
Possibly. Yeah. It does seem. I think the word transition is probably a fair one. Maliki, obviously you were a witness to the Cavan's victory in the first round, were you? You were. Would you say a fantastic win, and like the manner of it and everything else, kind of got the pulse racing in a week when that much got the pulse racing. For Cavan, would you say if there's well, one question mark I could see, would you say they are overly reliant on Paddy Lynch in attack?
Yeah, like and in the end, he scored 1-9, but it was 1-1 from play. He was actually reasonably well sort of shackled from open play when you consider that the goal was in garbage time from 40 yards and Rory Beggan had given up the ghost running back. He is certainly their marquee forward, and to be fair to him, some of the frees that day in Clonus, there was a brutal wind. Some of the frees he scored from all angles were fairly exceptional. You know, he didn't miss one all day. They're sneakily experienced, Cavan, actually. You kind of look at their team and you do see that there's a good core of five or six of them there that they're probably among the most capped Cavan players of all times, if capped is the right word there. And I see Killian Clark is back. He was sort of the glorified water boy in Clonus, and I see he's named in the squad this time around. I don't know how much of it he will play or not. Cavan are 9-4 for this game. And Throde are 1-2. I don't know about that now, to be honest with you. Like they're one of those counties that kind of bounces up and down. Like they in all the madness of the two COVID league seasons, they somehow managed to fall down to Division Four. Just sort of like talk about they fell through the cracks, really.
They weren't the first to manage that.
But like, look, they're a mid-ranking Division Two team, and they're solid at it. It's Galligan's first year. He's an interesting dude to watch on the sideline. Like he does not shut up. Like he micromanages this team to the nth degree, and that's fine when there's 8,000 in Clonus and everybody can hear everything. But as more players come to the, or more, as the crowds get bigger and a bit louder and it gets a bit more tense, you wonder.
You're wasting your time.
He's had with the championship, with the league, with McKenna Cup, he's probably had 10 matches with them now. So some of it's, you know, he's bound to be getting them into the sort of place that he wants them. They're a decent side. Like, you know, they have the experienced players like Kieran Brady and Porrick Faulkner and these guys who again, like they're playing intercounty 8-9 years. Like Kieran Brady won an All-Ireland club, was it intermediate this year with Arva? Was that intermediate or junior? I can't remember which. And, a load of these guys still have their Ulster medal from 2020. They probably, on some level, have an experience advantage on Sunday over some of these Tyrone players, you know. And they don't have this sort of star power of say, Derek Hanavan, you know. But the rest of it, I'd say they match up pretty well. I think Con Kilpatrick isn't in the Tyrone squad. Is he hurt or?
He got injured. He did, Malik. He got injured. I think it was getting Kerry that he came off.
I was down at that, actually, yeah.
Both himself and Petey Hart haven't recovered from their injuries in the league.
That's significant misses, you know.
Connor Maynard's still out.
I wouldn't rule out. I wouldn't rule Cavan out of this at all. So.
Yeah, the one thing, Rory, I suppose, in Cavan's a plus in Cavan's kind of ledger, you would say, is, well, you know, they've had an outing in Championship. You know, they've got their win over Monaghan. I wonder how much store we should put in that, because it's been said, and Malik, he mentioned it earlier, and he mentioned writing after the piece that, you know, Galligan could be quite so precise because it wasn't much of a championship atmosphere. I wonder, like, with the championship kind of starting off in such a kind of lukewarm fashion, I wonder, does that Monaghan game almost even count as being the white hot intensity of championship that will actually give Cavan some kind of an advantage over Tyrone, who are coming in for their first championship match?
I think, in fairness, the nature of the rivalry between Cavan and Monaghan, even though it mightn't have seemed like that, the game, I suppose, was a classic in the modern context of Gaelic football, where it kind of only fired for the last 10 minutes, and it was very exciting then. But that'll definitely stand to them. I think the only issue for me, from a Cavan perspective, is their record against Tyrone is it's abominable. I mean, I tried to get it checked. I could be wrong. I think the last time they've beaten Tyrone in the championship is 1983. Now, did you check it, Peter?
I'll counter that, Ray. A few Cavan men were fit to send me reminders during the week that it's 114 years since Tyrone beat Cavan in a championship match in Cavan.
Well,
that's what I'm listening to.
So
Brett,
you're heading to the cauldron of Breffni on Sunday. I think from Tyrone's perspective as well, you know, Peter will know this better than anyone, there is massive change. I mean, Dara Canavan is such a young man in his own right, and he's already effectively one of the leaders of the team, and he's still only, what, I don't know, what age is Dara? Peter, is he 22?
You might know.
He's 24.
Is he 24? And he's already elite, you know? So, like, that's the only thing that would probably have you, and Maliki makes a very good point around the experience, Cavan a little bit more wily, a bit more miles on the clock, lads that have been around the block. But I just still can't get over. I think there's some things in GAA where one team just has it over the other. And until you book trend.
But beyond that, Rory, like, Tyrone are a Division One team.
That's it.
They were fine in Division One. You can always rely on Tyrone to have one or two real blowout days in the course of a league, but they'll be fine. Like, as Peter said, they have a great kind of way of dusting themselves off and just getting on with it. I was down at their game in Killarney, actually, where Con Kilpatrick got hurt. All right, yeah, and like, Kerry ended up winning that game, but like, Tyrone were right there with them all the way through. You know, it's not that they were never really in danger of kind of going out of the division either. You know, and a Division One team against a team that's after, you know, they were solid in Division Two, but you know, it was still their first year in Division Two. Yeah. I haven't been down in three. You know, there is that, you know, you talk your way around these matches, and then you can sometimes be there 15 minutes into the game and go, oh, right, it's a Division One team against a Division Two team, man.
Okay, in a word, because as is right, because it's the Ulster Championship, we've spent a long time on two games, we have a few more to deal with. So in a word, Tyrone or Cavan, Malky?
I gotta go with Cavan just for a laugh.
Rory?
Not Tyrone.
Peter?
Tyrone, I hope.
First time in over a century. Moving on, Connacht, 4 p.m. Sunday, Dr. Hyde Park, which gives Lee Keegan the heebie-jeebies. He was telling us in his RTE column, so he's glad he wasn't a free taker. The idea of clearing the nets and kicking a ball into the graveyard, he was really, it played on his mind. But it probably also plays on Roscommon's mind that, as is the case with a lot of these rivalries in Connacht, Peter, the away team tends to have the advantage. Mayo, I think Lee Keegan said he never lost in the Hyde. He said the big pitch suits them much more than it suits them playing in McHale Park. So Mayo had a very, I suppose, a cured egg of a league, but Roscommon really looked like a team kind of devoid of confidence. Would you be expecting Mayo to come through here away from home, as form and history would say?
I wouldn't be surprised if Lee's comments were up on the changing room wall of Roscommon. He had talked about never losing in the Hyde, but he also said about how Davy Burke was bullish and enthusiastic last year, and this year all he's doing is making excuses. So if that doesn't fire up the Roscommon man, I think Mayo and particular have learned from last year. I don't think Kevin McStay had any real interest in making the top two. He wanted to retain a Division One status. I know they came up to Omagh with a very weakened team, and I think their security was never in doubt. So they're setting themselves up for the championship. But we bet like Kevin, their last two league games were really poor, and something similar to Mayo, they knew that they had their Division Two status retained, and their focus was on championship training. So with that in mind, that they have a game under their belt out in New York. I think they have the players who can hurt the opposition at the back. They have forward. Now, we haven't seen that this year in the league, where they haven't clicked, they haven't gelled as a unit. So they've had a bit of time to do that since their last league game. And I would be expecting a big performance out of Mayo. And you could argue the same for Roscommon. They haven't reached the levels that they did last year. They played some brilliant football, but you only have to go through their forward line, that they have individuals who are potential match winners, O'Carroll and the Smiths. So look, they still have quality, but I would be surprised, to say the least, if Mayo don't come through in this one.
Yeah, Malachy, the concern for Mayo, as it ever was, I suppose, is the those two words, marquee forwards, and they never seemed to have enough of them. They had Killian O'Connor, and no one in support, it seemed, and now Killian is kind of in a supporting role, so there's no one, but not enough so to say that he is a marquee forward along with Ryan O'Donoghue. So the hand-wringing seems to be that there's not enough people pitching in with scores alongside Ryan O'Donoghue. Is that a fair complaint, or the likes of Fergal Boland and others kind of showing promise enough to...
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it is to a certain extent. A couple of things on it, though, like how many counties do have that?
Like, yeah. The ones that win All Ireland's, I think,
Malachy. Like, you know, Kerry have two, right? So they don't have three, so let's not get too carried away. Also, I see Killian O'Connor isn't in the squad for the weekend. So he'll obviously not be helping out Ryan this weekend. They're an interesting side. They're quite a young side now. Mayo, like, even if you're looking through their bench, there's a lot of younger names there. Owen McLaughlin hasn't made the 26 either. It's definitely one of those games where you're kind of going, right, this will tell us a little of who Mayo are now. The league, it was funny talking to Kevin McStay after some games in the league, where I was at the Dublin game down in Castlebar, where they nicked a win in the last minute. Ryan O'Donoghue took a mark out by the sideline and took a really quick free inside I think it was Conor Loftus to score the winner. And like, McStay's absolute delight at getting the win rather than the draw there was almost entirely predicated on the fact that they wanted to get to 6 points, and that is all they wanted. Because then they could just, you know, stay in Division One and, you know, work backwards from the championship. So they did what they wanted to do. So, like, since they got to their sixth point, which I think was in the fourth or fifth game, like, you can sort of throw out everything else, including their trip to New York, you know. So they're an unknown a little bit. They have that full forward line is interesting, you know. It's Aidan O'Shea, Tommy Conroy, and Ryan O'Donoghue. They bring three completely different games to a full forward line, which is, you know, if you're setting out to stop them, then you need to find three completely different methods of keeping tabs on them. There's a few of them that you have to say, like, if they're not going to do it this year, if they're not going to really sort of step up this year, then how much of a future is there for them? Like, you have the likes of Tommy Conroy, who has he played in two All-Ireland finals? He's definitely played in one, you know. And Okay, he missed a year with his cruciate, but he's a guy who every Mayo supporter is excited about, you know. But someone like that only has to spend a couple of seasons not quite delivering on the promise, and they get dismissed very quickly. You know, they kind of go, well, God, we thought he was going to be the guy who's going to come in and score a goal a game and all that sort of stuff. And then he turns into another sort of 10 a penny Mayo forward. So I think it's a really big year for them. I see that they're sort of fifth-sixth in the rankings of who can challenge for an All-Ireland, or at least what people think is possible for an All-Ireland challenger. I'm not sure where beating Roscommon one way or the other will be the measure of them. Again, you know, the championship starts on in was it 3-4 weeks from now on the middle weekend in May. So
yeah,
they never worry too much about Roscommon, and by the same token can get beaten by them every once in a while. As Peter said, like, Roscommon have the better forward line probably. So much so, like, Enda Smith is really playing in midfield these days because they have enough forwards ahead of him. I would kind of lean towards Mayo, but not with any, I wouldn't be dogmatic about it.
Yeah. It's Kevin McStay's first year in charge of Mayo last year was also the first year of the new championship structure, Roy, as pointed out. We think he learned a bit from it. So
big time. It was exactly the point I was going to make. Like, Kevin is extremely strategic, and one of the big things that I think played a significant part in their downfall last year was lose to Cork the following week, have to absolutely pull everything out to beat Galway in Salt Hill, and then the reward for that is they have to go again the following week to try and take down Dublin in Croke Park, where the game was competitive right up until half time and just completely collapsed in the second half and took a bit of a trimming. And I would imagine a lot of that came down to fatigue, mental and physical. And I think Kevin will put a lot of store in seed one. Seed one, funnily enough, will be significant. All the whinging and moaning about the provincial championships, winning the provincial championships, what does it mean? Well, number one, because we know who's going to win in Munster and Leinster, it'll mean you'll avoid Dublin and Kerry. So it gives you a better platform to try and avoid that prelim quarter final, which definitely cost teams last year. And I think Kevin will put a lot of store on that and go after this Connacht Championship big time.
Yeah. So peak now for the championship and peak again for the championship.
Sorry, Mikey. I will say though that people latched on to Mayo winning the league last year and then getting hammered by the Dubs at the end of the championship as, you know, winning the league is the wrong thing to do. But like, Mayo beat Kerry in Killarney last year.
That's right.
Number one seeding or no number one seeding. And they followed it up by beating Galway in Salt Hill. So like, they got hockeyed by the All-Ireland champions after being more or less level with them at half time.
The eventual All-Ireland champions. Yeah, they did. To me, they haven't gone anywhere. I just think Kevin has the season mapped out slightly different this time round. And I do fancy them to beat Roscommon.
Okay. And I think you're the same, Peter. Are you fancying a Mayo win here, are you?
Certainly.
Yeah. Okay. We'll move on then. The final game we'll put any kind of a focus on, and it'll be a light enough focus. 1995, it was a great year. It was a great year. A lot of good albums came out that year. Elastica, Leftism, What's Story More Than Glory, Great Escape, Different Class, The Bends. And it was a lovely summer. The weather was great. So, Rory, I am praying that Cork somehow managed to win in Killarney for the first time since 1995, because I believe it will herald in a fantastic summer of both weather and music. So could you just make sure they manage that? That'd be great, please.
It's going to be a tall order and a tough ask. You know, look, it's two teams not too dissimilar. We'll say, I mean, if you're looking Donegal versus Derry, I mean, Cork really didn't raise too much of a gallop in Division 2. They were probably lucky enough to beat Fermanagh, lost to Louth, you know, won their last couple of games against two of the teams that ended up being relegated, have failed to be in the lead in any game at halftime so far this year. have been behind in every single match at halftime. if they do that on Saturday, it could be ugly. I don't think they will usually raise their game for Kerry. It will be seen as a good test for them. But I mean, look, if you're looking at that Kerry team, like there will be aspects where they can get after Kerry. Like the absence of Jason Foley might open up some space for the likes of Conor Corbett and Brian Hurley. 4 o'clock throw in on a Saturday afternoon in Killarney, which should mean a reasonably good crowd, and the weather is meant to be good. But in fairness, look, if you're praising this fixture in any rational sense, you can only really see one outcome.
Yeah, the teams are pretty similar, Peter, to last year. I was looking at it. Cork have 11 to the same 15 out, and Kerry have 12 as named. And, you know, in their second meeting, their All Ireland Championship last year, it was only 114 to 15 to Kerry. And a lot of people would say that Kerry penalty was a little bit fortunate. So, as Rory says, Cork do put it up to Kerry. On paper, there's absolutely no reason why Cork should win this match, obviously. But the absolute defeatism there is maybe a little bit harsh as well, is it?
Yeah, and they did beat Mayo last year, isn't that right? As well, yeah.
Knocked out Roscommon,
the league champions. I do expect a big game from Cork. When you go through their players up front, Conor Corbett, you know, this is a chance for him to really make a big statement. Really talented player, and he's got Chris Oak-Jones and alongside him there, Brian Hurley, of course. You know, we all know what he can do in front of the post. You look at their bench, their midfield is more than capable of winning their own ball if the kickouts are forced to go long.
And they will be.
You know, you would say that Cork should be breaking 50-50 in that regard. And bear in mind, defensively, Kerry are minus Jason Foley, one of their best man markers. And if you look at the Cork bench, if things aren't going well, they have experience. Players there, Sherlock and Dean John O'Rourke to come on to make a difference. So they always do. They always can step it up a bit, and they're going to have to step it up a good bit to compete with Kerry. And if they do, they can look back on the turning point, the end of February, when they'd lost their first three league games. They were losing against Fermanagh going into the dying seconds, and Rory Dean got a goal to turn their season around. And since that, they haven't lost any game. So they appear to be going the right road. They have talented players. A lot depends on what Kerry comes out of the traps on Sunday. If it's Kerry that's highly motivated and synced with one another, then it's only going to be one-way traffic. But Kerry haven't been overly impressive. Some of the lads already mentioned it there already. They've been winning games without setting the world alight. Have they added in? And Joe O'Connor has been playing well. They've only scored, two goals in the last five games. You know, they haven't been hitting the net, and both those goals, I think, actually came from Joe O'Connor. So have they added to their firepower and their forward threat? Not really. I know Killian Burke has come in wing half forward and has performed well. So, look, I still think Kerry's going to win, but there's questions to be asked of Kerry, and if Cork can do that, they can make this game interesting.
Last point to you, Malachy. Could you make the case that of all the teams, you know, we talk about the uneven provincial championships, etc., which we kind of opened on, Cork maybe are the most unfortunate team, because everyone complains about poor old teams in Leinster. Now, one of those teams in Leinster has ever done what Cork did last year in the championship, really, like in the last 10, 15 years, and like beating the Mayo, or, you know, kind of really, you know, kind of caused a shock. Cork are a county who are capable of great things, but are kind of very much under a jackboot, and maybe we are a little bit harsh on them at times, I think, because we just don't expect them to beat their neighbours. They did it once during COVID, etc., but it just hasn't happened, and it's maybe having an unfair impact on their championship prospects over the last few years, where I don't think that's the case with the Leinster teams.
Well, to an extent, the only thing I'd say about that is that Cork kind of slipped out of Division 1 in what? 2014, 2015, give or take.
Yeah,
in around then, anyway. And I've never made it back, you know. And yeah, the provincial jackboot is very strong, but you know, you got to get into the Division 1. You got to, you know, you need to be spending your life there. and developing teams and players and systems of play and all of that sort of stuff. And we know all that. What struck me actually looking at the team that they've been able to name, Cork have had real spells over the last 3-4 years where they had, you'd look at their squad and you go, ah, there's got some decent players there, and they haven't been able to get them all on the pitch at the same time. Whereas like that, certainly that forward line that they've named for the weekend, that's you're getting close to more or less their best there, you know.
Yeah, get Kahlomani maybe in there, but yeah. Sure, look, every county has injuries, so you just can't.
No, I understand that, but like Sean Powter they've not been able to get the best out of him over the last few years, and I think look, I'm always loath to get too stuck with what the bookies say, but like the handicap is 8 points. I think they can get within 8 points. I think they got something out of last year's championship, you know, whereas a lot, you know, plenty of teams didn't. Plenty of teams sort of went out on a whimper. Cork, like they got a couple of wins that people didn't expect them to. And I think they can build on that as, you know, until they win a game in Killarney, and we could be here in 20 years' time saying they still haven't won a game in Killarney. So until they do, you can't really back them to do so.
No, I think that's
the washout that people think it might be.
Yeah, hopefully not. And on that optimistic note, we'll leave it. Thank you very much to Peter and Malachy and Rory. Look, follow the RTGA podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or YouTube or wherever you like to watch it. And Jackie and Rory will be back on Monday to look over the weekend. So enjoy your weekends. Good luck, and we'll chat to you soon. Bye.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
What I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. It's over the bar.